Welcome to the Nerd Busters Podcast Show.
Welcome to the Nerd Busters Podcast Show. I am your host, Ray Harper. My co-hosts are Kevin McKee, a.k.a. Alma the Young.
That's me.
And Michael Jacobo, a.k.a. Tom Servo.
Hey, hey, everyone.
Sweet. All right. Well, this is actually a legit first podcast. I will never post, well, the first one, because that was just a beta and it was horrible. This is legit and this is real, so... this episode is episode 1, Earth and Beyond. It is pretty much anything science fiction. That's what I was kind of pushing towards. Earth and Beyond was a game I enjoyed when I was about 16. I was addicted to it. It was an online game. I imagine you guys have all heard it before. I imagine Michael know about Kevin.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I never actually played it. Yeah.
It was good. It was kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of like a ripoff of Star Wars and Star Trek at the same point, but it was neat. But anyway, so we're going to go off, what have you been up to, what have you been up to, guys?
You know, me, working and family, that's all I do. Nothing else after that.
Are you serious, Kevin? Half the time that stuff you post on Facebook, you are the busiest dude. You have so much going on. I just, really?
Well, there's lots of side stuff I do, like, preparing for Christmas, that's coming up, and of course work, and then there's stuff, you know, that I have to do for work that's after work, like system patches and stuff, so, yeah, I keep busy, but it's really the same type of thing. It's stuff to do with family and stuff to do with work, and occasionally, you know, get my jig on.
Oh, I hear you, man, I hear you. What is it, I couldn't imagine what Christmas is like in your house with all those kids. I mean, what is shopping like?
Dude, it's a crazy mess, man. You know, Christmas morning, I have 6 kids, so, you know, things are just scattered all over the house. It takes us like 2 weeks to clean up after Christmas, I swear. And I hate having a messy house, so it really bugs me. But, you know, the kids love it.
Did you already get your tree?
Oh, yeah, we've had it up for like a month. Natalie was really
same here.
Wanting to get it.
What about you, Michael? You got your tree?
Oh yeah, we got ours last week. We kind of slacked on it this year. It's kind of funny because I got home and my wife was like saying, "We're missing something." I was like, "Well, what? What did I forget to bring something home?" And she's all, "No. Did you notice anything that's all kind of off about the living room?" And I kind of looked around. You know, I got 3 kids myself, and I'm like, okay, what am I missing? What did they destroy now? All these little guys, I'm gonna kill them. And I was like, "No, what's missing?" She's all, "We don't have a Christmas tree yet." I was like, "Oh well, damn, you're right."
Wait, so did you get a fake one or a real one?
Oh, we get a real one. We go down to that. Fireman's tree lot on Charleston.
Same thought.
And pick one up there. They always have really good trees there.
Yeah, we kind of learned the hard way. We went to Home Depot, and that was a bad idea. The tree's still alive, and it's fine, but we went to, like, you know, like, it's like Joe's trees, and it, you know, they look great, and they keep them in water and everything. Home Depot doesn't, so I learned, good learning experience.
Yeah, we usually go to Home Depot, too, but this year, they were just crap trees, and we ended up going to Lowe's. They don't keep them in water or anything, but we have them. We'd have them do a little trick. They, instead of just cutting off a bottom of it, you know, the bottom inch to freshen up the tree, we also have them cut the sides off a little bit, and so it sucks up more water and keeps them alive longer.
Oh, nice. Never heard of that.
No, I never heard of that either. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, that was an accidental discovery we had last year, because we bought a tree that had such a huge trunk it wouldn't fit in our stand. And so we're like, shave some off the side to fit it in. And it actually ended up staying alive so long. I couldn't believe it, how much it was sucking up water even up till Christmas. And we had it up for, you know, 3 weeks before. And this one, we did the same thing, and it's still going strong. It smells good.
The funny thing, the trick I learned is hot water. Don't not to boiling, but hot, and pour it in there. It keeps the sap from hardening on the bottom.
Yeah, that's what the guy at the tree lot was telling us, that use hot water instead of cold. And, you know, with an hour or two of putting your tree in the stand, dump some hot water in there, and it'll turn out great. You want to talk about a thick trunk on a tree. Last year, my wife and I, we went to Costco for our Christmas tree. And they just have this big semi full of trees, and they're really nice, but there's like no uniformity to them at all. And so, you know, us being us, we picked out the biggest damn one we could because they all cost the same amount. It was like $40. And so we got the biggest damn tree we could find. And when we got it home, we tried to put it in our stand, and it wouldn't fit. This thing was like a bear of a tree. So the wife ran out, and she spent like 2 hours looking for the biggest Christmas tree stand we could find. And when we finally found one, we basically had to get a drill and drill that son of a button on there. And to this day, we couldn't get the tree off the stand. It like fused with the stand. So there's like this 3 foot stump of a tree sitting outside of our house right now to this day.
That's classic. All right. Well, I guess I kind of want to start off on a light note just for fun. I got some useless facts. Kevin, you didn't get this section. Michael did, but it'll still be kind of fun. I was kind of reading some stuff, and I thought would kind of be kind of cool, just for fun facts. I saw a video about the PlayStation when it was first came about. You remember, Kevin? I was addicted to that when I was living with you.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you'd never stop playing that thing, especially with Final Fantasy VII. You were just bugged the crap out of me how much you were on that.
I know. Yeah, it was
a good
bad.
Game.
It was a good game. I loved it. Anyways. The PlayStation was originally supposed to be an add-on for the SNES, but it never came about.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that what those little ports on the bottom were for?
Four.
Yeah, that's what they were for. Sony was going to team up with Nintendo to actually make the Super NES, like kind of like what Sega CD did. But Sony said, well, they pretty much gave them the finger and said, we're going to make our own console. Hence the PlayStation, but they did team up with them. And if you don't know that SNES does actually have a CD, but you can only buy it in Japan, and there's like maybe two games for it. It did horrible.
Typical.
Yeah, that's
Japan
figures.
Gets all the good stuff.
Amen to that.
Right. See, all of the 2,418 games make up 1.49 terabytes or 31 PS4 discs. The memory card held 1 megabyte or 1 NES game.
Nice.
31 PlayStation 1s is equal to 1 PS Vita. PS1 has 2 megabytes of RAM, 512 times more powerful than the Apollo 11 guidance system, which is still 0.02 of the PS4. It's sad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, think about how far we've advanced. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, we went to the moon with the Apollo. So here's even better. Now this is, I thought this was even cool. This was NES facts. A cartridge equals 1 meg or 60 seconds of an MP3. Combined RAM of all NES units is 118 gigabytes or 51 Wii U's. I don't know if you guys even own a Wii. Oh, yeah, you do, Michael.
Yeah, I got one.
Let's see. Total weight of every NES is 77,212 metric tons, or 448 blue whales.
Do you guys still have an original NES?
I'm getting one for Christmas.
No, I do not. I have the casing, but all the guts are gone.
Oh, bummer.
I can't wait to get it.
The other day.
You still got yours?
I have one, yeah, and I have a number of games, too. I still have the original Legend of Zelda, Ninja Turtles, of course. I have the three Super Mario games.
Oh my god! Do you know how much? You know how expensive a Super Mario 3 game is? $60 if you want the original cartridge.
Oh, serious? Wow.
Yeah, I still have that—the original cartridge and the box and the sleeve it came with and the instruction manual. It's
my god! You could sell that for so much, yeah. Because I went to, because remember, my buddy Shane sold me his Super NES for $25 and like 6 games. Well, I went to the store to find out. He gave me Zelda, which is a Link to the Past, which is pretty much one of the most popular games for that, $120 at the store.
Damn,
Wow,
you
that's
ripped
more
him
than it
off.
was brand new.
Right? let's see. Here's some good one. The air blown on every Super Mario Brothers cartridge would fill 18 hot air balloons.
That's hilarious.
That's a lot of hot air.
Yeah, right. Let's see. If every NES game was stacked on top of each other, it would be 600 miles higher or taller than Mount Everest. That's a lot of game. Let's see.
That's a lot of plastic.
Right? That's what I was thinking. Here's something I didn't know. Nintendo patented the D-pad. I didn't know that.
Really? Wow.
Really? That's kind of weird.
And
Well,
here's the best one, my favorite one. Nintendo coined the name. It's on like Donkey Kong.
are you serious? I thought Psy from Duck Hunter, or what is it? Duck Dynasty made that.
No. Yeah, I thought I looked it up too. I read it, and yeah, they coined that because they came out with Donkey Kong. So here's some more kind of useless but kind of cool information. This is, Nintendo is one of those kind of companies that they will never ever steer away from their consoles. Well, it came out today that Nintendo is experimenting with smartphone apps.
Serious.
Says, but there's kind of a twist to it. Says, we're also doing a lot of experience on what we call the little experience you have on your smartphone and tablets. We drive to back to your Nintendo hardware. What kind of gets me is, so they're messing with it, but what they're saying is there's some elements of the gameplay and movement shaking, something like that. The full game, however, will still stay firmly on the Nintendo. We believe in our games are the best played, best enjoyed on our own devices. So pretty much what they're saying is they're going to put something on your, kind of like Xbox's smart glass, they're going to put something on your phone, but you still need the console to play it. That's what it kind of looks like, sounds like to me.
Sounds
Sounds
kind of
like Apple's
clunky to
philosophy.
me.
Yeah, no, what'd you say, Kevin? I heard Michael. I said clunky. What'd you say, Kevin?
It sounds like Apple's philosophy. They want stuff running on their own hardware.
Right? Well, I don't really blame them. I mean, they're not really doing bad. I mean, their Wii Us are doing horrible, but in general, their sales, I mean, they geared around children, so, I mean, come on.
I mean, just about anything on a tablet or a smartphone. Always somehow involves microtransactions. You think that's something they're going to go for?
Oh, that's a good idea, probably.
Well, it would be smart for them to go to a, it would be smart. They would make a lot more money, but I don't think they're going to be like Apple. Just like Apple will never go to Flash, and everyone else has Flash, but Apple just won't. Even though Jobs dead, they still won't go to Flash. Which I thought was kind of cool. December 22nd, or 21st, I'm sorry, is there's an auction in New York. And this is what I thought was the coolest thing. So you guys tell me which one you would choose, because I already picked mine. They're selling, and I'll give you the prices of some of them they're actually starting at. Han Solo's gun, his actual gun he used in Star Wars, first and second, not in the third. Willy Wonka's golden ticket, not the stupid Willy Wonka, the good one. Tim Burton's Batman suit, well, of course, Tim Burton, and
Oh, that's a good.
right? The hoverboard from Back to the Future 2. Which I don't know why they told me Back to Future 2. There wasn't anyone in there. Oh, it was another three, wasn't there?
Yeah, they
It
have
was
the
in three.
hoverboard in three.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. But wasn't the same one in the third the same one in the second as well?
Yeah.
Well, they look the same. They used Wilson's volleyball from what was that, Castaway?
Yeah, Tom Hanks' movie.
Could you just go buy a volleyball at Walmart and I mean. All right.
Take a utility knife to it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And the last one is LeVar Burton's visor. So, Michael, what would you pick if you had to buy one?
Okay, first of all, the stupidest thing on the list, I'd say, would be either the golden ticket or Wilson. The
I agree.
Batman suit sounds tempting, but it would be, if I were to buy it, it'd be more like Fat Man than Batman. So I would have to go with Han Solo's blaster.
All right, so and that starting price out for Han Solo is 500,000 starting.
That's reasonable.
Of course. What
As long
about
as it's the hero prop that, the one that's made out of actual metal and not the, cheap plastic junk they use for
Oh no,
cheap
yeah,
shots.
it's the real one. It's the one with the actual metal. Yeah, it's the real one. What about you, Kev? Which one would you go after?
I'd be really tempted for the visor and the hoverboard.
I knew you
would. I would say the Batman suit would be pretty awesome to have.
Except if you want to look up.
Yeah. I forgot you couldn't move in that. That one is starting at $230,000, which actually isn't bad.
No, that's not bad.
Okay, so,
yeah,
and
I can afford that.
I like how Michael said, well, the stupidest ones are, and the one I picked, I really want Willy Wonka's golden ticket.
You are such a child. Really, come on, I would have figured you for the visor.
I was really tied for that for a second. I really wanted that visor. I thought it would be cool. But I really just wanted to run the streets and you know, and sing the song and with my golden ticket.
You sing, I've got a golden ticket.
But, I mean, come on. If you bought the visor and you got, you know, you pinned it on, you could show up to work and start talking about reversing the polarity of the whoosie what's its and whatnot. And it would be awesome.
No, that's true. I would, God, that would be kind of cool. And then, you know, but knowing me, I'd probably get beat up or hit or something. You wouldn't hit a guy with a visor, would you?
See, yeah, and I just yell out, shut up, Wesley!
Oh, there you go.
I wouldn't hit you with a visor, but I would shoot you with a phaser.
Oh, okay, well, that was fun stuff. Alright, so now we're going to head on to... movie, so we got a cool sound for this as well. Here we go.
I just love scanning for life forms. Life forms. You tiny little life forms. You precious little life forms. Where are you?
I love
that part of that movie.
I totally sang that out as you played that.
I knew you would. I definitely knew you would. That's why I picked it. I try to pick something everyone would kind of like. So I kind of, when I heard that, I was like, that's definitely the movie section. All right. So movies in general, this is pretty much things that are coming out, excuse me, from 2014 to 2015. And I picked some, they're all science fiction movies that I saw was kind of cool. We're going to start off with Godzilla coming out May 16th, 2014, starring Aaron Tyler, Bryan Cranston. Hey, we all know him. Elizabeth Olsen, Juliette Binoche, and Ken. I'm gonna say wannabe, but it's not. It's Watanabe.
Watanabe, yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds Kevin wannabe. Sounds better.
Nice.
Yeah, at first glance, that's what it looks like.
It does, right? So it says Legendary Pictures announced today they will be developed and produce a film based on Toho's company's famed Godzilla character. Through the terms of the agreement, Legendary Pictures has acquired the rights to produce a movie inspired by Toho Godzilla, a franchise that Japan created and has nurtured for over 50 years. The trailer did come out. I don't know if you guys did see it. I did. It looks amazing. It looks like exactly like the crappy ones we remembered when we were kids, and there was a dude in a rubber suit, and he was fighting, you know, Mothra. It looks exactly like that, and it doesn't look like the crappy one that came out with, what was it, Broderick?
Matthew Broderick,
yeah. Yeah.
God, that one was horrible.
I was going to say, does this movie, I haven't seen the trailer, but does it look like a crappy Power Rangers episode where they're tearing down the buildings in big suits?
No, it actually looks pretty good. The production value is, you know, on par with your major blockbuster movies, and Godzilla actually looks pretty good. He's got the, you know, telltale fins on the back, and his head even has that little kind of awkward shape to it. But, you know, it's obviously more modernized, and the roar is still the same, which I thought was really great. I got some high hopes for this movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull up the tray real quick just so you can hear Godzilla sound and you can mimic it. Okay, so listen. Can you hear that?
That sounds like it's right out of Jurassic Park.
Sounds like a T-Rex, right?
Yeah, totally.
We'll have to listen to. They don't show very much of it. You see, like Michael was saying, it looks really good. They pretty much took right off the old classic ones. But we'll have to see more of it. Mike and I were talking. We were kind of hoping that they were going to not be like the Broadwood one where they're not fighting anybody. It's just like there's baby Godzillas over the place. You know, it'd be kind of cool if he was fighting like Mothra. That's what we all want to see. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if it's just going to be Godzilla running through New York and terrorizing everything. I don't know. It's already been done to me. It'd be kind of cool if, like, if you saw Mothra or what was the other one you said, Michael?
Oh gosh. Okay, now I can't remember the name of the freaking turtle monster.
Or Mecha Godzilla.
Gameron? Yeah.
Oh, Gameron.
Is it New York or is it Tokyo?
Well, it looks like this one's New York, but it looks like it. It could be Tokyo. I mean, you can't really tell with all the dust.
That's true. Well, here's to hoping it's in Tokyo and not New York, you know. The first Godzilla movie was pretty bad, but I'm still holding out hope. I'm thinking they may screw it up, but hopefully there's enough creative juice behind this to where it's not like, you know, World War Z, where it's like a couple of minutes of zombies and then you got Brad Pitt running through the city.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully this is good.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's hoping the best for that. It looks, and they haven't really given it a rating yet. I imagine Godzilla, it's going to probably be rated R. You just kind of imagine that's just the way it's going to go. Moving on, I really don't want to talk about this one, but I just have to. Transformers Age of Extinction. Ugh. June 27th, 2014 is when it's supposed to come out. I'm guessing kind of maybe high hopes because it's got Mark Wahlberg, and I like him.
He's done some pretty good movies lately.
He does, yeah. I can't really, that's what I'm kind of hoping. Nicola Peltz, Jack Raynor, Stanley Tucci, and Kelsey Grammer. Kelsey Grammer? I didn't even
Kelsey
really,
Grammer?
Really?
Frasier?
Yeah, that's an odd pick.
So it says, as humanity picks up the pieces following the conclusion of Transformers Dark of the Moon, the crappy one, Autobots and Decepticons have all but vanished from the face of the planet. However, a group of powerful, igniguous business and scientists attempt to learn from the past, transformer incursion, and push the boundaries of technology beyond the way they can control. All while Ancient's powerful transformer menace sets Earth on his crosshairs, the epic adventure and battle between good and evil, freedom. So, I'm really confused how the story's supposed to. I don't really understand. I read more into it, and the story still doesn't make much sense to me. It looks like they're all gone except for the Autobots. The Decepticons are gone. So now there's a new evil coming, and I can't find anything else more. What else is coming? But it's Michael Bay, so who knows?
Well, there'll be lots of explosions and lots of shaking. We can guarantee that.
True. What were you gonna say, Kev?
I was just gonna say I don't know. I think the Transformers thing is that needs to be put on hold for a while. I mean, the first one was awesome and really groundbreaking with their effects, but now it's all just pretty much the same old stuff. And I think it needs to be put away for a while until they come up with an awesome storyline.
True.
One thing I am kind of excited about in this, I don't see Shia LaBeouf anywhere on the cast list.
Oh yeah, and what's her name? The one with the funky looking finger?
Megan Fox.
Oh my gosh, she's
going to be doing the new Ninja Turtle movie.
I know. Don't even get me started with that. We're still going to talk about that, too.
I read that she's, when they were filming that, she has to have red hair because she's April, and that the dyes they were using were so harsh that her hair is falling out in clumps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by that.
Yeah, geez Louise.
That's pretty crazy.
Why didn't just get a redhead? It would have just been easy. Oh, well. All right, well. Anyway, so not looking forward to that, but hey, it's coming out, and like everyone else, I'll probably go pay and see it because it's Transformers, and who doesn't love the 80s cartoons? Even though, you know, Megatron transforms into a gun on the cartoon, but on this one, I don't know what he is. let's move on. Transcendence comes out April 18th, 2014, starring Johnny Depp, kind of got me interested, Paul Bettany, Rebecca Hall, Kate Marr, and Morgan Freeman, two great actors, actually. The plot involves a scientist whose brain gets uploaded into a supercomputer with the aim of creating the world's first machine that can think for itself. It actually sounds kind of cool for a science fiction type film.
Yeah, so far I'm interested. I mean, Johnny Depp and Morgan Freeman. I think I might be able to look at this one a bit.
It almost kind of looks like Skynet. Kind of similar. That's what it reminds me of, Skynet. Computers getting smarter. That's what I'm taking off there. There's just not much more to the movie. It's still way ahead of its time. I tried finding more information about it. I just couldn't. This is all that I could get. At least I got the actors and the release date. But so far, that's pretty much the only thing I can think of. It looks all right. We'll move on. This one actually looks kind of cool. It's called The Maze Runner, September 19th, 2014, starring Dylan O'Brien, Will Poulter, Thomas Brody Sangster, Kaya Scodelario. I mean, I murdered that. Patricia Clarkson. I know, right? You probably could say better. The story follows a boy named Thomas who wakes up in a strange place called Glade with no memory aside from his first name. Glade, the enclosed structure populated by other boys and surrounded by tall stone walls that protect from the monsters called Grievers that live in the maze, which surrounds the walls around the Glade. Every day, some of the kids who are runners venture into the labyrinth trying to map every changing pattern of the walls in the attempt to find an exit. As soon as Thomas arrives, unusual things begin to happen, others grow suspicious of him. The maze seems familiar to Thomas, but he's unable to make sense of the place despite extraordinary abilities as a runner. When the first girl arrives at Glade, she brings message that she will be the last one to ever arrive in Glade, as the end is near. So, it almost kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, a modern version of The Labyrinth.
Or that, you ever see that movie, The Cube? Kind of sounds familiar to that, too.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah, I could see that. What do you think, Kev? Would you see something like that?
Possibly, if the trailer looks good. I haven't seen that one yet.
None of these trailers are out. The only trailer that was out for was Godzilla. None of these. This stuff is all, they have the cast set, but they have not set any of the trailers out. It looks interesting from a science fiction perspective. I like it.
Oh, you know what? I think just looking at the description there that you sent me, The Maze Runner, I think I read that book, and it was actually pretty interesting.
What? Oh, I didn't even know that was a book. Oh, boy,
yeah,
talk about my bad information.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, this one sounds like right in my scope of interest here. I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on this one. I kind of like the way this one sounds, and if there's a book, I got to find that.
Well, I like the monsters too, the Grievers. I'd love to see what those look like. It almost kind of reminds me of what were those guys called on the Harry Potter's? They were trying to catch
Dementors.
Yeah, I always liked that name. That was a great name for an evil person. Like, just I don't know what they were. Were they evil? I think that no, they were just.
Yeah, well, they were. Yeah, they were on the side of the Death Eaters. So yeah, the Dementors are bad.
Yeah, see, I just like that name. So I just think the Grievers. I couldn't imagine what they would do. Ugh. Anyways,
they tear him apart, like rip the kids apart.
Oh, really? Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, talk about it. Okay, that's rough. Okay. So, anyways, let's move on. I, Frankenstein. This one kind of caught my eye. January 24th, 2014, starring, I don't even know any of these actors. Yvonne Strovisky, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Not the science guy.
Caitlin, Stacy, Aaron Eckhart, and Jake. Courtney says, according to creators, writer Kevin Grosch, Frankenstein Monster is going to be an ancient... Okay, now, I didn't remember reading this, and you guys will have to give me your feedback on this, because... Okay, so Monster is going to be an ancient hero named Adam. Frankenstein creature finds himself caught in an all-out, century-old war between two immortal clans. The director says, we wanted to make more of an action hero. We haven't seen Frankenstein as an action movie yet. The story is of what Mary Shelley did. The monster is trying to have some sense of normalcy. God created man, but he taught man morality. Here, Dr. Frankenstein created Adam and taught him nothing. Adam wants to know what it means to be human. It's about him trying to gain the sense of humanity and fit into society. The screenwriter and the actor Kevin Grievous, who created the Underworld franchise, would be reteaming with Patrick. A bunch of people, I have no clue who they are. The comic book and movie is a modernization of Frankenstein mythos. The monster encountered other famous movies' monsters in presumably violent ways, including Frankenstein's monster, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and The Invisible Man, Dracula, blah, 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 those monsters. So from what I got from reading this, there was so much more I read. I just kind of cut it in half. It's Frankenstein as an action hero. So think of him as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay. This,
go ahead.
This
go
sounds
ahead.
Like it's going to be like that stupid movie, what was that, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer or whatever?
Yeah. That was actually fun to watch. What were we going to say, Michael?
Okay, first of all, let's start off with the cast. Okay, you know who Aaron Eckhart is. You know, if you've seen Batman, you believe in Harvey Dent. That's Aaron Eckhart.
Oh,
that's
wait,
Frankenstein. Oh. Yeah, so it's I Believe in Frankenstein this time around, Aaron Eckhart. And Bill Nighy, I think that's his name, he was in the Underworld series. He played the main vampire, so it's kind of interesting to see him back again.
Oh!
And he also played in Shaun of the Dead as Shaun's stepfather. And he's been in
That's
a couple,
right.
and he was in Hot Fuzz as well as the police chief. And
Okay,
he did
never
a couple
mind.
other movies. So yeah, you know who these people are. You just don't recognize the names. Second of all, yeah, I don't know about this movie. I saw the trailer a couple of times, and this just seems like, okay, let's rip out everything to do with vampires and rename it from Underworld to I, Frankenstein and introduce, let's bring in Harvey Dent. It's gonna have some cool action, because this guy, he can write an action scene like you wouldn't believe. He's got the funding for some good special effects, but the story and as far as how good this movie's gonna be, it's gonna be a popcorn movie, you turn off your brain, grab some corn, and it's movie time.
Pretty much like Kevin was saying for that Abraham Lincoln, like yeah,
Yeah, pretty much.
that's okay. That's what I kind of thought. But yeah, you're right. I do know those actors. Okay, know me. I'll probably just wait till it hits Redbox and I'll just go grab it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to be really bored to go see that in the movie theater.
yeah. All right, so let's move on to one called. I actually saw the trailer for this, so it actually looks pretty interesting. I don't have too much to this, but it's just called Jupiter Ascending. It comes out July 25th, 2014. It's starring Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum. It says a lot. In a universe where humans are near the bottom of the evolutionary ladder, a young, destitute human woman is targeted for assassination by the Queen of the Universe because her very existence threatens to the end of Queen's reign. I don't know. I saw the trailer. It was
Yeah, I
science
did
fiction.
too.
What'd you think, Kev?
It's I don't know. It looks like a typical story where you can already tell how it's going to end just by the description.
Didn't it kind of remind you of what was the one with Bruce Willis?
Fifth Element?
Yeah.
Didn't it kind of remind you of that without Chris Tucker or Chris? No, what was this?
Yeah.
Well, who was it?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it does seem
It
like that.
kind of
And
reminds me
that's
of
what I
like.
thought too when I first saw the trailer. I'm like, yeah, Fifth Element. It
Yeah,
looks
this
okay.
movie, there's nothing new here. We've got your basic story. Yeah, let's take Fifth Element, and Twilight, put them in a blender, and get Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum, and then there we go. We're gonna have
Channing Tatum.
good-looking people saving the universe, against impossible odds.
And sell it
Kids
with
and
special
teens will
effects.
come. Yeah, kids and teens will go to see this movie for that alone. So yeah, there's nothing new here. It might be a good movie. If it's on TV, I'll watch it. I was kind of interested in it, but yeah, we'll wait and see.
Very true, very true. Alrighty, so we're moving on. That's all I have for movie news. Now it is our main topic, which is geek news, and I have a great song for this.
Our sponsor today is Redshirt Burials for the first person to die in your away team.
Sir, what is it?
Can I talk to Fire, please, sir?
Well,
I don't hear, sir.
You don't need that, Private. We're right here. Now, what is it?
I don't hear, sir.
Now, what is it?
I'm having trouble with the radar, sir.
What's wrong with it?
I've lost the bleeps, I've lost the sweeps, and I've lost the creeps.
The what?
The what?
And the what?
You know, the bleeps. The sweeps. And the creeps.
That's a great clip.
That's not all he's lost.
Right? I thought
Yeah, it
that was.
was.
Oh. Alrighty, so, you guys could hear it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Alright, so let's move into main geek news. I found some great stuff. Warcraft movie cast revealed. It says Colin Farrell is not listed. Did actually try to ask him to be the main lead for that movie. As of right now, he's still not responded, so they don't know whether or not he's going to put him in. So far, as right for the casting, and Michael, you might know these actors more better than I do. Ben Foster, Travis Fimmel, Paul Patton, Toby Kebbell, Rob Kaczynski, sounds familiar, and Dominican Dominic Cooper. Apparently he was in Captain America, but I don't remember him.
Yeah, nothing's jumping out at me.
Yeah, it's, go figure, it's a Warcraft movie. I imagine all the top A actors are not jumping towards this. It says, despite previous rumors, Colin Farrell had been offered the lead role in Warcraft. He's not mentioned in the film press release. Production is set to begin in January 2014, and as reported earlier, the release date is currently March 11, 2016. I don't know if you guys knew last time I talked to you, they pushed it back again. It's Blizzard.
Yeah, that's typical.
Right. Other details we already know about the upcoming movie. Duncan Jones is the director, and he pretty much said I've played every Blizzard game. He's played all of them, so I guess that's a good thing, probably in
the 2 weeks that he was cast as the director. It's like, oh, I better play these games, or so I know what I'm
doing. Right. Yeah. Let's see. Pretty much he's saying it will be a mix of live action and CG focusing on a human versus orc origin story, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to start.
Also, the best part is Industrial Light and Magic will do all the visual effects. And they've also done the visual effects for Star Wars, and you saw how great that was. So.
This isn't
Industrial
gonna be
Light
CG?
And Magic, they're good.
What were you saying, Michael?
This isn't going to be CG?
CG and, yeah, half CG, half live action. I don't really know what that even means. But,
I don't know.
Who knows? I don't know what that means.
That movie Final Fantasy Spirits Within, that kind of look.
Oh, okay. What were you saying, Kev?
I was just going to say, it's probably just going to be, you know, humans are going to be real humans, but in your notes there, we'll be creating the, you know, Industrial Light Magic will be creating the orcs, and I'm sure all the other special effects. So,
oh, well, I didn't even read that part.
Humans fighting, you know, CG characters.
Yeah, it even says we'll be creating the orcs. They'll be creating the orcs Duraton and Lothar. They'll be creating the orcs, pretty much. So it'll be kind of interesting. Here's the best part about it. So they're creating the orcs, and I don't know. To me, and maybe Blizzard just can't. That's just too much on them. But I don't know why their team of animators just don't do the orcs, because they've been doing them ever since the games come out. So I just don't.
I know, and they do such a good job too.
I know, yeah. I don't get it, but oh well. I mean, hopefully they do a really good job. Because there's the funny thing. I mean, you've seen orcs in other movies, and there's something about Warcraft's orcs. They look different. I don't know what it is, but you look at them, you can just tell that's Thrall. I mean, I don't know. When I look at them, I just know.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, see that. Blizzard has a certain look to their animation. I guess they know how to make their stuff the style they want. And I hope that ILM will copy that or mimic that really well. If not, you know, you're going to tell.
True.
Yeah, what I was thinking is it's a time thing, because they're doing a full-length movie, you know, hour and a half, hour 40 minutes, whereas their animators, Blizzard's animators, are used to doing, you know, a 2-3 minute clip. So I can't imagine they've got that many artists on staff that could handle, you know, a 120-minute production. So I'm betting those lead artists went over to ILM and said, okay, here's how you do it.
Yeah,
true.
Totally.
Makes sense. They did say the last thing is Duraton and Lothar will go head-to-head in the movie story. And I actually looked them up, and I guess... and you can correct me on this, Michael. Well, let's see if you. Duratan was before Thrall, and Lothar was before. God, what's the name of the guy that's the king of Stormwind now? Valkyrin, or I forgot his name.
Wynn, I think his last name is.
Okay, because
these are like the first leaders of the orc of the Horde and the Alliance.
Right, and that makes more. Yeah. But the funny thing is, I don't remember that in Warcraft 1. I really don't. Maybe I just didn't pay attention to the story.
I don't think there was any mention of them, really. Not that I can think of. I think they really started pointing out people in Warcraft 2. Because Warcraft 1 was just very generic. You know, here's some humans, here's some orcs, go kill each other. Warcraft 2 is really where the story picked up, I think.
True, yeah, I do remember that. Do you guys remember, this is kind of off topic, but which Warcraft movie was it to where I remember Warcraft Rome, you had to create roads to build buildings, but when did they change that?
Warcraft 2.
In number 2, you don't have to do that.
Oh, that's right. God, because it blew Warcraft. I remember that. You had to spend all your money just building the roads, and then once you build the roads, like, you build a whole pattern. I remember that. And then you start building stuff along the road, and then you remember, like, you were getting murdered by another clan, and you're like, damn it, I didn't have roads. So you were screwed.
Yeah, I hated that part, but I loved, you know, in Warcraft 2, you didn't have to have...
I like the boats. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, in Warcraft 1, in multiplayer, the cheesy strategy was to have one of your peons start building a road, you know, in a kind of an out the back of your base and around the map to where you would eventually wind up behind your enemy's base and then just build a guard tower there.
Oh, wow, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, that was super cheesy. and then in Warcraft 2, the cheesiest thing to do was just to, you know, build like 5 barracks, create a bunch of knights, and then go out and zerg the crap out of people.
Wow, that's a really good idea. Well, like you said, cheesy. It's kind of like the same thing as, remember, you guys have all been there, remember back in the day when you were sitting in a PvP and they would camp the graveyard? God, I hated that.
I know, I hated that.
Yeah, that was really annoying.
All right, so let's move on. I did task you guys out to look at this movie. It was called Beyond. I saw it. It was science fiction. It looked really cool. I did watch it. I'm not really going to go in. Well, I'll go into explain just a little bit, even though you guys have seen it. It's a short film from Ralph. I want to say Ralphie because, you know, Christmas Story, but it's Raphael Rogers. Anyways, Arya is the last remaining member of her family, a lineage with a unique genetic code that grants the ability to survive the folding of temporal and spatial boundaries. In short, she can teleport. The task of exploring new planets, she is searching for something that will explain who exactly she is and where she comes from, and now is tapped to become a prey. The reason why I picked this was because this short has been tapped to become a feature film, and sci-fi is taking it over. The same sci-fi that took over Sharknado. So this might actually be pretty good. I first want to hear, Michael, what did you think of the film?
Okay, yeah. It's pretty good concept. I liked it. I'm excited to see a movie by it. I thought it was really well done for a student film. You know, I really couldn't believe that. I mean, they went all out on the effects and everything. The story is a little loose. I imagine they'll tighten that up. You kind of have to take a few leaps of faith, not knowing exactly why she's looking for another, I'm assuming, hospitable planet, where, you know, I'm guessing, you know, Earth becomes overpopulated and we need more space to move on. So that's why her family was conscripted into looking for other planets that can host human life, so we can fly there and populate that. What I don't get is, you know, her family is the only people that can do this, and so they send them out to go jumping around. Now we're led to believe that in this future they've got extreme advances in technology. I mean, she's talking to an AI that's kind of like, you know, it's there and it's not there. It's kind of like off screen, basically. And it's recording, it's giving her distances, you know, it's got star maps in it. So we're led to believe that there's some extreme technology advances going on here. What I don't get is, if she's the last one that's able to do this, what government is going to send their last asset out there on a dangerous mission like this? I mean, they should be looking into cloning this chick, or, you know, finding out what it is in her DNA or genetic code that allows her to do this. I mean, I imagine that would be the first thing they would do with this family. But like I said, I imagine that's going to be tightened up in the feature-length movie. And the way the movie ends, it's kind of interesting, so I'm going to wonder how that plays out. But yeah, just a couple of minor tidbits that I just can't wrap my head around that I'm sure will be tightened up in the movie, but I'm excited to see it. I'm a little disappointed that it's sci-fi films. Yeah, Sharknado was a fun movie, but it's freaking Sharknado, man. I mean, come on, I'd love to see this in better hands.
I hear you.
I wonder how Sharknado ever got approved to be made.
Sci-fi.
Oh, man. Okay, so what'd you think of it, Kev?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting and well done for a little short thing that probably didn't cost much to make, so I think they did a really good job.
I thought the cinematography was amazing. The visuals.
Yeah, I thought so too. The landscapes and all that were really cool.
I think there was a couple parts, and you can tell, you know, they had a budget, and it was done by some students. There was a couple parts you picked out, like there was a part in that scene where she jumped and she flew across, and you can tell the CG on that was pretty bad. But I gave them a break because I understand.
Yeah, all that stuff will be tightened up.
What were you saying, Kev?
I said, yeah, they're not ILM, definitely, but for what they had and, you know, being nobodies, they did pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so too. But like Michael said, it's sci-fi, so you never know. I mean, we'll have to see what's going to happen. When I say a feature film, they didn't say it was going to be a feature film theater-wise or, you know, a film to TV. They didn't say, who knows. When I first saw it, it kind of reminded me, it so reminded me of Quantum Leap.
It still was cool. All I know is that if Tara Reid is anywhere near this, I'm not watching.
Move on. If you guys did see this video, I did send it to you. Pretty much, I thought it was kind of funny. It says, proof that Star Wars Death Star design looks great anywhere. Did you guys see that YouTube video?
Yeah, I thought that looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Definitely a nerdy thing to have in your house.
Well, when I saw it, I definitely wanted to do it. So I asked the wife, and she said no. So, but it sure looks cool. Because it was really expensive.
I think you should still do it, but put it in your do it in your garage. What does she care?
Well, the problem was it's expensive to do because you have to buy the molds. And I was.
I'll just do it a little bit at a time.
Yeah, I can just do like the third or the sixth movie where it's just half the Death Star, right?
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Tell her, hey, kids don't need to go to college these days. What the hell?
I have the Death Star. Oh, man. Anyways, I thought it was kind of cool. Talk about a great idea. Someone just thought, like, ooh, that's a really great idea, and they just thought it was kind of cool. So let's move on to Star Trek 3 news. I thought this was kind of cool. So it's co-writer Robert Orci did an interview with Comic-Con. He pretty much let's read this word for Rick. Here he goes. Okay, he says, the next movie will start filming in 2014, and J.J. Abrams will probably still direct. It looks like the production team is still trying to figure out the logistics. Orci said, I'd love to have J.J. back. We're still talking to Paramount about where the schedule might be and if we can do it together again. But yeah, you kind of can read into that. I don't know what you guys think. With him and Star Wars, yeah.
I doubt he'll be able to, because he'll be so wrapped up in Star Wars, there's no way he'll be able to do that movie.
Yeah, if he tries to spread himself too thin, you know, both the projects are going to suck. So hopefully he just picks one and goes with it.
Yeah, watch, he accidentally puts a lightsaber in Star Trek.
Well, my problem is I have no clue who Zachary Quinto is. I don't know who he is as a director.
Spock. So. Zachary Quinto plays Spock.
Oh, I read this wrong. Oh, no. Yeah, I read it wrong. My bad. Boy, thanks, Kev. I did read that totally wrong.
Hold I guess Zachary Quinto was all enthusiastic about it, saying, oh, yeah, we're going to start filming in 2014, but the co-writer is saying, no, he put the kibosh on that statement. So they probably aren't going to start filming in 2014.
Oh, okay. I was a little wrong with my information. Okay. Okay, so moving on. I thought this was kind of cool. The topic was J.J. Abrams regrets Star Trek Con secrecy. Did you know about this, Kev?
I didn't know he regretted it. I knew all about the secrecy, but this is interesting.
It pretty much says, I always thought trying to keep Villain Khan a secret in Star Trek Into Darkness was kind of ridiculous. In a recent interview with MTV, the director admits that he regrets keeping Benedict Cumberbatch, a real secret, saying, the truth is I think probably would have been a smarter to just say up front that this is who it is. It was only trying to preserve the fun of it and might have given more time to acclimate, except that what was. Abrams is now moving forward with Star Wars Episode 7, but he will stay on. You were about to correct me, weren't you?
Yeah, I was about to say 7.
Yeah. But he was standing as a producer for the third Star Trek, which might end up directing by Joe Cornish. That's who the director is. I have no clue who that is. Do you guys know who that is?
No, but I bet he's done something.
Yeah, not off the top of my head.
Let me check Nerdbusters research team here.
That's always a great, if you don't even know who Joel Cornish, okay. Everyone knows who Abrams is. Okay. Anyways, someone asked about Abrams replied with, I don't know if okay, here's the best part. So Abrams replied to this. I don't know if Joel Cornish is the guy. My guess is that's up in the air. I adore him, I love him, and can't wait to see what he does next. Hopefully it will be Star Trek, whatever it is he's brewing. Attack the Block was one of my favorite movies of the year when it came out. Attack the Block?
Yeah, he's done nothing.
He did
Attack
that.
The Block was the
that
last
That was a
one.
Good one. That was a good movie, though. Attack the Block.
The rest of it was all TV stuff, TV series. Blender, Comedy Lab, Making Little Britain 2, The Adam and Joe Show. That's
oh
all
my
he's
God. Directed. What was Attack
yeah,
the Block?
It's a story about in London, these monsters, you know, kind of rain down from the sky, and these street hooligans find it, and they beat the crap out of it, and they're like, hey, look at this, we got an alien, so they take it back to their weed dealer's lair, basically, and trying to figure out what it is, and then more monsters come raining down looking for that one other monster. That's not exactly the plot, but that's what I remember from it. All I do remember from it is that it was good, it was funny, and you learn a lot of British slang in it.
Oh, okay. So it was a British flick. Oh, I kind of like British flicks. All right.
Yeah, it had Nick Frost in it. Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. He's the fat one.
Okay. Oh, I think I've seen it. Okay, well, do you think based on his record of films, I don't know, it's Star Trek and Abrams.
I'm sure he's probably capable, but I guess it matters if he's not a fan of Star Trek and just going in to direct this, then I worry.
Well, maybe he won't lens flare the hell out of it.
Yeah, but I like that look. I
take
think
the apple filter
Abrams
off.
The apple filter. No, I know what you're saying, Kevin. Yeah, the effect of it's kind of cool. But did you hear that when he first came out with the first film, he showed his wife, and his wife's like, you got to take some of those lens flares out.
That's funny.
There was probably a
I
lot
before
really
he
showed. I
really liked the first one.
Oh, I did, yeah. It was excellent. God, it was excellent. I still watch it. I think I watched it 2 days ago just because even when the movie first starts out and you hear that bloop, bloop, it was just great. Like, man.
I don't know if this bugs you guys the way it bugs me, but the whole, like, infinite, like, the non-limited transporter bugs me. Does that bug you guys too?
What do you mean non-limited? You mean, like, they can go anywhere?
The second one?
It started in the first because they had this transwarp equation that Scotty came up with, and they used it to beam onto a ship going at warp from a standstill. You know, Next Generation, you can never do that. And then they used it for this guy to just beam to another planet that's, you know, light years away. And I really think that it's
I didn't even realize
that
to not
have a limit. They should have a limit on the transporter, and I think they're screwing that up by not putting a limit.
Well, the way I understood that is they're both two different technologies. The warping teleporter thing.
You'll eventually get it.
I'll eventually get it. Give me a second. Hold on. Got to warm up here. Got to warm up the nerd. That's what she said. is basically like you're driving in a car and you're throwing a piece of garbage and trying to hit a trash can. That's what was in the first one. That's how it was. That's what they explained it as. Well, that's what I got from it. So you're trying to hit a moving target with a projectile while going ridiculously fast. In the second movie, it had to do with some kind of repeater or super signal booster to where they could extend the range of the teleporter. It wasn't exactly like, because they were teleporting to a different planet, you know, a somewhat stationary object, as opposed to a starship going, you know, traveling at warp speed.
Yeah,
so two different things.
But the thing I think Cameron's come across is here's the biggest problem. And Michael, you've seen all the Star Trek stuff, and they couldn't do that Next Generation, and that was way after Kirk, like way after.
Yeah, you you couldn't beam going warp unless you and the target were going at warp at the same exact speed. And it was a good limitation. And also in Next Generation, the limitation was 30,000 kilometers. You couldn't beam any farther than that.
Okay. All the Star Trek people are making me work way too hard on this. Okay. Because I've dealt with this on Facebook, too, because there's a guy on my Facebook who's like a real, you know, big Star Trek fan, and he hates the new movies because he hates the fact that, you know, oh, Kirk grew up this way, you know, but he's a huge comic book fan, and he loves Marvel. So I had to explain it to him this way. Look, this is like the Marvel Universe. Marvel Universe has an infinite number of planets, and an infinite number of possibilities are possible on each of these planets. So, in the first Star Trek, we call that, you know, the Star Trek Prime timeline, and that's what happened
Correct.
There. We have a new Star Trek timeline with, you know, it's a different universe. You know, there's different possibilities. So, yeah, what's impossible in
one the multiverse
may not be impossible. Yeah, it's a multiverse. So what's impossible in one may not be impossible in another. You know, Scotty couldn't figure it out in the Prime timeline, but he figured it out in the new timeline.
But in the Prime, he did, because in the first movie, Spock mentioned that he came up with the transwarp equation. And that was in that whole area right before they beamed back to the
Empire. But that's Spock in a different timeline. That's Spock in a different multiverse.
That's Spock Prime. He knew about the whole transwarp equation and actually showed Scotty in the new timeline.
Yeah, but wasn't it like incomplete?
Go ahead.
Wasn't it incomplete, if I remember right, or there was a piece missing? Something
yeah,
like
in
that.
Yeah, in the new timeline, he didn't have it perfect. He couldn't figure it out because, like he said, he tested it on Admiral Archer's Beagle. And he could never get it back. But then Spock Prime shows up and shows him what the actual correct equation is, and mentions that he came up with it. I believe he mentions he came up with it. The Scotty Prime.
See, out of all the things that bugs me, is that apparently Spock is dating Uhura. Come on now.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, that's
But it's
really
a new timeline,
different.
So...
Anyway, so let's move out. We could probably debate on this forever. We'll have to see with the next director. You know, I really hope it goes well. I imagine he's going to have something with Abrams, and they're probably going to, you know, talk back and forth. Because I know Star Trek is Abrams' baby. Because I mean, he did both of them, and they were flawless. So we'll see what happens. Moving on. Let's see. Ghostbusters 3 topic. Director Ivan Reitman gives up on Ghostbusters 3. If we can find a way to make a film, this is pretty much what he's saying. If we find a way to make a film that's somewhat as magical as Ghostbusters turned out to be, then it's worth making. If we can't, then we probably won't do it. And I think that's really what's best, what's pretty much was taking so long to get the scripts done. We had a couple of scripts that were quite good, and that we just didn't quite had it. One of them was particularly centric to Bill, and we just couldn't get him to read it. As so, then one didn't get made, and even though it was pretty damn good, so we've been thinking of alternatives, and we're actually making some real progress, and we'll see what happens. He also comments on how Bill Murray isn't necessary against Ghostbusters, he just doesn't play these kinds of parts anymore. Bill Murray has never actually read anything, pretty much. He hasn't read anything yet. So, in the whole news...
I just don't understand Bill Murray. What does he mean he doesn't play these kind of parts anymore? He's a comedian, and Bill's character is all about the comic relief. So I don't get what he's going. He's acting like that for.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't understand what he's doing. He was pretty much so he said Bill Murray may have read 10 pages at some point, but he's never read a script. He's never been interested either. That part is pretty much true. It wasn't Ghostbusters in particular. It was just he's been carrying on his life in different ways. So all it pretty much tells me is that it's probably never going to be made. They keep pushing scripts and...
Probably not.
No. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's just been mainly doing other types of movies now instead of like Ghostbusters and all the other funny movies he was in. I mean, if you look at the last couple of movies he did, they weren't necessarily comedies.
Yeah, they were kind of odd, I thought. Odd movie.
Odd's not the word. My gosh, they were.
Like Lost in Translation was a crazy one. The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, one of my personal favorites. But yeah, that still was out there.
It's funny how you like that. I watched that, and I still can't. I even watched it a second time. I was like, oh, I'll give this chance. I'll give it a second chance, because Michael said it was good. And I still can't get into it. It's so off the wall. Like, it's like a mix between Pee-wee's Playhouse and, I don't know.
I mean, it's a great movie. It's got a lot of star power in it. And, I mean, come on. There's a guy that sings acoustic David Bowie in Portuguese. Like, how could you not like that?
Well, that part was actually pretty funny. You got to see it, Kevin. It's actually, it's a 13
movie.
I've
never heard of this.
Oh, you got to, it's a Bill Murray movie. Come on. It's.
Yeah, look it up. The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
It's so weird. I don't really know what to say about this. You know, I think all of us have been kind of hoping for another Ghostbusters because I really loved the first one. I like how they're saying that they're not going to make it if it wasn't as good as the first one. What sequel's ever as good as the first one? I mean, there's very few out there that are ever as good.
I love
Terminator
the first
2.
One. I even loved the second one. I remember as a kid that painting in the second Ghostbusters scared the crap
scared
out of
me. Scared the snot out of you, didn't it?
That dude was that
Vigo
was
the Carpathian.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I liked both the Ghostbusters movies. They were good.
Of course they were. I mean, that's... You know what the funny thing, the scariest part in all those movies that scared me the most was that that nanny, that ghost nanny that came to get the baby. That scared the snot out of me.
Oh,
that?
For me, it was
in the first movie, the library ghost, when they're all get her.
Yeah.
that was the scariest for me.
That was pretty scary.
One of my favorite lines in the first Ghostbusters is there in the library. And Dan Aykroyd's character, he goes, listen, you smell something?
Nice.
That is pretty good. You know, I also liked when, what was it? I can't forget, Venkman. It was Venkman, which one?
Venkman was Bill Murray's character.
That's why I said, okay. And then, okay, so I liked when he was on the microphone. He goes, I see him, Ray. He's looking at me. Oh, that was a great scene.
Well, makes me want to go watch it.
I know it was such a great flick, and you know, it's kind of funny they took so long to make a third one. I guess the second one really didn't do that good in theaters like they thought it would, but it was such a great flick. And of course, they also had problems with Bill Murray. It's always Bill Murray. And the funny thing about it, he's actually pretty much the star of the film. He's the best part. He's the funniest part, anyways.
I know all the other guys are up for doing it except for him.
Well, I don't look at Aykroyd though. Oof.
Well, yeah, it's Aykroyd's pet project. I mean, it's his thing. You know, he loves Ghostbusters. He's a big fan of the paranormal and stuff like that. So, you know, it's what he wants to do.
Yeah, well, I really do hope they make a third one. I don't know if it's going to really happen. They keep trying to push scripts, so I guess we'll see what happens. Moving on, we're getting close to pretty much the end of our topics. I thought this is kind of interesting. Timur Bekmambetova will lead the Insane Warriors of Oz to Sci-Fi. So Sci-Fi Channel's taking this up, which I thought was kind of interesting. Sci-Fi's tapped, there you go, Kevin, Abraham Lincoln vampire director Tim Beck, I am not going to pronounce his name.
Bekmambetova.
Thank you. To create an action fantasy reimagining of The Wizard of Oz. The miniseries will be called The Warriors of Oz. It's a fantasy action reimagining of the classic story in which a warrior from present-day Earth is transported to post-apocalyptic futures of Oz, where he must team up with three other warriors, heartless, brainless, and coward, in order to beat the evil wizard who has enslaved the land. Oh my god, go ahead. Well, what do you guys think?
Ugh, they're milking it all they can, Oz.
I wouldn't have to agree.
I'm not so sure about this one. I mean, if it's going to be... reimagine. I mean, are they going to go all gritty and, you know, real with it?
I'd probably watch it if it came out, like just one episode to see how it's going to be. I like the names. I mean, they're kind of a ripoff of, was it Heartless, Brainless, and Coward? So it's Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion.
And the Lion. Yeah. I don't buy it.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what's going to happen. I don't know. It's from the vampire kind of thing. So who knows? You might be funny. All right, so moving on. Sci-Fi's taking out something else, which I actually want to see, and I'm a fan of, because I saw Sharknado, and it was just pure crap, but fun to watch.
See, I told you. I told you that it's a brilliant, brilliant time. It's not a good movie. It's a good time, though.
Oh, yeah, Kevin. It is a you won't see it because it's really graphic, but it is horrible. Come on. You can already just tell by the name.
I know. Sounds like a great piece of cinematography.
Of course, yeah. So Sci-Fi's taking over another they're calling this a masterpiece, Ghost Shark. So Sharknado was rating disaster as brutal as well as Sharknado. Everybody was talking about the premiere of Sharknado. Sharknado was everyone tweeted about, but nobody watched. And Sharknado-related successor, Ghost Shark. It's about a shark that also... It's also a ghost, can possibly top Sharknado. We're not sure, but we can do a crossover. So it's a shark, but he's a ghost.
That's great.
I want to see it.
I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it.
I mean, what can you imagine if you're sleeping and the shark goes boo? I want to see it. Anyway,
he's going to go boo. Yeah. Y'all mind if I eat you real quick? Boo?
Yeah. All right, so last couple things, and we're going to cut this to a close. I thought this was kind of cool. Sci-Fi's taking on another show, and I thought it was the greatest play on words. And I'm not going to read the whole article because I can pretty much tell you what it is. It's remember the Independence Day with Will Smith?
Oh, yeah.
I vaguely recall it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one's called Independence Day Aster. So it's Day Aster. So it's the aliens come during the day.
Okay, I get it. Wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. Day Aster, like disaster, Day Aster. Okay.
Day Aster. Yeah, not disaster. Yeah. See?
Okay, whoever wrote this, you're very clever. Now shut up.
Oh, I want to see it. Come on, you know you want to see it. Come on, look how stupid that is. I just can't wait to see how bad the CG is going to be. Anyway, so Sci-Fi's taken on. It's coming out June 27th. Next year.
What is with Sci-Fi lately? They're putting out all this crap shows and putting them into production. I don't get it.
Because what the funny thing I've noticed about them is they've done so many like what are Michael? They've done all those crazy mix on animals, and they actually do really well. Like a lot of people watch them.
Yeah, like Sharktopus, Crocagator, and then they do like versus like. Sharktopus versus Crocosaurus or something like that, and they get all these former A-list celebrities to come in and star in these. Like they had Debbie Gibson in one, they had Antonio Banderas in another one. No, not Antonio Banderas. Lorenzo Lamas in one.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's just they get these people to do it because they need the money, and people watch it because they know it's going to be a disaster. I mean, I tune in for that reason. So, yeah, I'm part of the problem.
I blame you.
Oh, I'm like Michael. I'm probably going to see it because it's horrible. I mean, that's why him and I go see those riff tracks because, horrible movies watch and make fun of. And you just make fun of it as you're watching it because it's just so bad. You just – I'm not even going to admit – what was that movie you had me watch, Michael? It was about the birds.
Oh, Birdemic Shock and Terror.
Okay. Kevin, never, ever. You've seen probably in your lifetime numerous training videos. It was like a training video, but it was a movie.
Are you serious?
It was horrible.
You have to see this movie. You have to, just to understand the pain and suffering that Ray went through. You have to see this movie.
It's not graphic or gore at all. I mean, it's not really. It's just the guy tried to rip off the famous movie from, what's it, Michael? It's,
The Birds.
Yeah, The Birds from Hitchcock. So that's what he tried to rip off, and he called it Birdemic.
Interesting.
It was horrible. Anyways, all right, so last bit of news, which I don't know, this is kind of more towards Kevin's idea of kind of cool stuff, which I thought was kind of cool. Europe launches a satellite. They launched a satellite yesterday to map 1 billion stars. Europe Space Agency successfully launched. I said successfully.
I thought you said sexually launched.
Yeah, I kind of screwed that up. It starts surviving satellite Gaia into space Thursday they launched it today, in a bid to produce the most accurate three-dimensional map of the Milky Way and provide an insight into evolution of our galaxy. Using its twin telescopes, Gaia will study the position, distance, movement, chemical composition, and brightness of a billion stars in the galaxy, or roughly 1% of the Milky Way's 100 billion stars. Holy smokes. That blew my mind when
That's
I read that.
That's pretty awesome. That is really awesome.
1% of the Milky Way. I can't... 1%? That's amazing to me. Just one? Oh, my God. All right. So I thought that was kind of some cool news. And the last news before we head out, I followed it. I imagine you did, Kevin. Comet Ison.
Oh, yeah. I've been following that.
Okay. So here's what I thought. And I'm going to read this whole thing, which I thought. So studies determine that Comet Ison is so this was some fact news, which I thought was kind of cool. It says Comet Ison is expelling roughly 130 pounds of water and 112,000 pounds of dust every minute. Did you know that?
Yeah, there was some other cool stat. I wonder if I could find it.
It says it's traveling at more than 200 miles per second. Ison passed 730,000 miles above the sun's 6,000 degrees. Is that, I want to say Celsius, but I don't think it's Celsius, isn't it? Is it Kelvin?
No, Celsius.
Okay. Before its encounter, Ison's tail stretched more than 5 miles through space. 5 miles?
I've heard it's even longer than that.
God almighty. Says, now here's the best part. And it says 48 hours after the encounter, NASA screwed up. I don't know if you, did you know NASA, they screwed up? Because they pretty much, they said that it got eaten up by the sun, in which it did.
They thought that because it didn't flip around faster than they thought it would. And so they thought, oh man, it's gone. But then if you watch if you look at the SOHO images, that is the satellite that watches.
Yeah,
the
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it. It flings around the side.
You see it flip around, but then, and it looks like it survived, but then all of a sudden it starts to fade. So, and it continued to fade. So it never picked back up in brightness or anything, and it wasn't this epic comet that everyone was hoping it would be. So it was pretty disappointing that, you know, once it flipped around, it didn't do anything for us. And it's pretty much dead now.
I was surprised how close it came to Earth. Like, it was really close. Like,
yeah, it was pretty close, and I think it was maybe around the same distance as our moon is away. And the tail, from what I read, was longer than the distance between us and the moon. The tail stretched this huge distance out into space.
Wow. Yeah, I just thought that was cool news. I read that. And pretty much that's it for tonight, guys.
Our sponsor today is Red Shirt Burials, for the person in your away team that can't aim a phaser or hide behind a rock.
We're men in tights. We roam around the forest looking for lights. We're men in tights. We run from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like sissies, but watch what you say or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights. Always on guard defending the people's rights. We're men, manly men, we're men in tights.
Yes!
We roam around the forest looking for fights. We're men in tights. We rob from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like men. Don't get us wrong, or else you'll put out your lights. We're men in tights, tight tights. Always on guard, defending the people's rights. When you're in a fix, just call for the men in tights.